It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
I'm so excited to have you guys here on Money for Lunch. You know what? I am grateful that I get to do what I get to do. And part of the, the mission for Money for Lunch is to help you get to that place in your life where you're just turned on and passionate about what you do. Because ultimately, that is all that we have. You know, Mark Cuban once said, or I guess he might have said it more than once, but Mark Cuban said, find something that you love to do, and maybe you can make a good living at it. It's not a guarantee, right? The deal is this. Most of us make the accident, the mistake, if you will, of chasing money because somehow we think that money is the thing, right? Hey, if we have the nice car, the nice house, the nice title, you know, that this is it. Well, we know that's not true. Over and over again, we've seen people who have made a tremendous amount of money and they hate their life. They hate their job. And then they act out in some outrageous ways too. Do you remember Charlie Sheen? I mean, here's a guy who's getting $1 million an episode. And, you know, he got to the point and that he just freaked out. And a lot of people said, hey, he freaked out because of his drug use. I disagree. I think he used drugs to cover up the fact that he was miserable. And it got to the point where even drugs couldn't take it anymore. He is essentially doing the same thing he's doing before. He's acting on a sitcom called Anger Management. And it's got, I think his brother's producing it. He seems to, you know, really be enjoying that experience a little bit more. And I don't know what the difference is. I don't know if maybe he had a conflict with the other producers. I don't know. But bottom line is, he took as much as he could take, and he finally lashed out. And he lashed out in a very big, public way, right? Or imploded, or whatever you want to call it. So bottom line is, you got to love what you do, and maybe you'll make a good living at it. We're going to get started right now with my first three guests. Doing a guest panel, if you will, today. I have Jackie Bashara on the joining us. I have Larry Shaliga and Sean McFadden. And to give you background information on Larry Shaliga, he's one of our regular contributors. He's also the CEO of OTR Wheel Engineering and Blackstone OTR, with 19 manufacturing and distribution facilities in 6 countries. Jackie Bashara has helped individuals, teams, and groups transform their thinking and their behavior for more than 20 years. Jackie is an evidence-based, results-oriented organization development consultant and executive coach specializing in transformational learning, mindset recognition, and development of group dynamics. And then Sean's a regional manager for Blackstone OTR, responsible for 3 manufacturing and distribution centers providing wheel and tire assemblies to major OEM customers on the West Coast. And Sean, interestingly enough, reports to COO Larry Shaliga. Welcome, you guys. Did I not do this right? All right, let's try this again. All right, welcome, you guys. Now I got it right. So we have Sean and Jackie, and I guess we dropped Larry somehow. Larry is joining us right now. Here we go. Guys, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Bert, it's good to be back again. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. So, Larry, why don't you tee this up for us? Tell us what's going on. Tell us why you have Sean and Jackie on the show today.
Well, as you know, Bert, you and I have been on the show a couple of times. We talked about the book Transform that I co-authored. We had Jackie on the last time talking about how my wheels had fallen off as a manager and was feeling pretty desperate. Hired Jackie as an executive coach, and things started to roll my way. So we gave the audience a feel of the perspective from a person being coached and from the executive coach. And this time I thought it would be interesting to add a third perspective, with Jackie again being the executive coach, me as a C-level manager, and Sean McFadden, who works for me, is one of the plant managers that we have on the West Coast who has just recently been promoted. And he is working with Jackie as an executive coach.
I love it. I love it. All right. So this is awesome stuff, because we hear about executive coaching. We hear about some of the transformation that have occurred, but we sometimes don't get to see behind the curtain, so to speak. So, Jackie, why don't you explain why you were brought in to help with Sean?
So, not speaking out of school, because, you know, coaching is you know, confidential, it's personal, but in essence, there was a situation where you have a very, very talented, very smart man who is spending his time essentially putting out fires instead of strategically using his abilities and smarts to strategically think forward. And it happens all the time in organizations where managers have so much on their plates, people are doing so much more with less, and so managers tend to move into firefighting mode. And that was a little bit of the situation that was going on. And maybe Sean could fill in a little more what was happening with him, but essentially that's what I was brought in.
Let me jump in. This is Larry. Let me jump in for just a second. I had initially hired Sean as an intern when he was still in college. And he showed so much potential that we brought him on full-time and eventually made him the plant manager of our facility on the West Coast. Over time, I moved on to a different position, and Sean and I fell out of touch. When I came back, Sean was still the dynamic individual that I remembered, but I saw him caught in that same trap that I was caught in, where I was spending more and more time at work, working harder and harder, spending less time with my family and friends, and not enjoying life. Working hard, but not enjoying life. It's ridiculous. And I talked to you, and I talked to Sean, and we decided as together that we would do something about it. Sean, am I on target?
You're absolutely on target. I think, you know, Jackie touched on it. There's a firefighting mode that comes to be as your job and career gets busy. And when you become in that firefighting mode, your growth and development is almost paralyzed. There's stagnation that occurs because all you're doing is taking the biggest issue at hand, and it becomes a revolving door of just one issue to the next. But there's no strategic plan. There's no growth. There's no development because you're not moving forward. You're just taking the issue at hand, whatever comes to you at the time. And ultimately, you're just trying to survive the day. And when you get into the trying to survive the day, there's no self-reward at the end. It's just a repeat. It's kind of like Groundhog Day.
I even had to order him to go home at night.
Well, say that again. You had to order him to go home at night?
I did. I had to set a time for him to go home. Otherwise, he'd just stay there. He'd just keep working.
You know, and it's interesting because I think we've all experienced that where, as you guys just said, you're working as hard as possible. You're getting less and less done. And what's so interesting, at the same time, we don't want to leave. Jackie, explain to us what's – go ahead.
You're trapped in a mindset that I have to get it done, but you're never getting ahead of the game. And that's where Jackie comes in.
Absolutely. You know, Jackie, explain to us what is happening to us when we're in this reactive kind of Groundhog Day-ish kind of mindset.
So there was a lady named Barbara Fredrickson who developed a theory called the Broaden and Build Theory. And what she found in her research was that when we are focused on the in a fear mode or in a stress mode. It's not that it doesn't benefit, but it only benefits for this moment. So what you're taking care of is only for this moment. And when we're in a more positive mind space, it what happens in our brains is that it allows us to think broader and actually think forward, which is where she got broaden and build, so that we can build on what we're doing. So essentially, we're working both with what happens, how we're wired, because we're not wired to be in a firefighting mode on 24/7. And so we have to have some way to work we naturally have, and then how do we then also work within the environments that we have? And oftentimes what I have found in coaching people is that there's such a level of stress and anxiety that what it does is it drowns out or tampers down the ability to think cognitively and strategically. And so managing some of that so that we actually are working to broaden and build instead of just taking care of the emergency in the moment. And what happens, I'll end with this, what happens so often is that people aren't even able to stop long enough to prioritize what's happening and to really think strategically forward, and sometimes needing some support and around being able to do that.
And what I saw, Bert, is that I firmly believe that what you focus on is what you get. So if you
yes.
continually focus on firefighting, you're just going to build more opportunities to firefight. The change I saw in Sean, and it took a very short period of time, was his focus changed from firefighting to strategic planning and making improvements and engaging his people. So he took a lot of the skills that he learned in working with Jackie and started to apply them not only to himself but to his people, becoming a more effective leader.
I love it.
And,
I love it.
And,
all right, so
and
go ahead, Sean.
Some,
I was going to ask
that
you.
Some of that comes through, and Jackie touched on some good things, that it's learning how to create those breaks, because in the firefighting mode, you never take a moment to appreciate the accomplishments that you have. You just move to the next issue, right? And as you just repeat that process, there's never a chance to pause and say, what did I get out of this? What was the reward? And celebrate the successes, right? When we don't celebrate the successes, we're not cognizant to what we're actually getting done. So learning how to take the break and realize what you have to have those, I'll say a cognizant break in there, and learn how to establish that in the day. And that's one thing that Jackie really helped me with, was learning where to take my time in the day and accept that. It's okay to take my time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's amazing what your mindset does on a shift. And when you're able to do that, you have more desire to put forth more plans and build and strategically get things lined up to better the yourself, your career, and your team that you're working with.
That's great. And I want to ask you this real quick, Sean. All right, so from the time that you started working with Jackie, how quickly did you start feeling different, better, seeing results, however you want to quantify that?
I would say within the first 2 weeks. Once I was dedicated and accepted that I wanted to change, that was the pivotal moment. So, you know, the initial was, you know, kind of putting your feelers out, Jackie getting to know me knowing her. And once I accepted and I wanted to change, it was within a week to 2 weeks. Because of the mindset.
I noticed the difference immediately because of the difference in the questions that you were calling me with. And instead of calling me and complaining about problems, you were calling and discussing with great excitement the opportunities that were in front of you.
Agreed.
And you know what? And check that out. What a difference that is, right? So instead of calling and saying, hey, let's complain about this and whine about that, it's, hey, you know, here's a discovery I've made. Here's this thing that I'm thinking about doing. So it's a completely different mindset. The other thing I want to discuss with you guys, because again, this is a great opportunity. We have the CEO, we have the regional manager, and then we have Jackie, the executive coach. We as a society, especially the older we get, the weirder we get about celebrating our achievements, whether big or small, right? And when somebody says, hey, Larry, you did a great job, the usual reaction is, oh, well, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, instead of just saying thank you and accepting it. Talk about that. How did we get to this point where we don't, where we're weird about celebrating our victories and we can't even just say a simple thank you for something when somebody recognizes one of our accomplishments?
You know what, Bert? I've never had anybody ask me that before. That's a great question. For me, when Sean called previously, it was, oh, man, another problem coming. And then when he called and it was, hey, Larry, we can do this, or hey, Larry, what if we do that? Or, hey, do you know what we did? We just eliminated the need of putting a second shift in, and we saved all these jobs and in the Redmond facility. This is really great. You know, it not only – it's hard for us to do because we've been taught don't brag, but it's not bragging. It's celebrating the success and sharing the moment. It's sharing the happiness that you've got with other people. And you know what? It's contagious. Because then I'll walk down the hall to the CEO and say, wow, do you know what we just accomplished? Sean did this. And so it actually, other people start trying it. So
Can I jump in one second?
Sure, go ahead, Jack.
Sorry, Larry. I was going to say, if I could just jump in one second to piggyback on what you were saying, Larry. Because I think culturally there is a message that we get about humility and being humble. And I learned a long time ago, and I love this, that really humility is really being able to differentiate the true from the false. Being able to say, yeah, you know what, I am good at this, or I'm challenged at this, or I've worked hard to do this. And so it is a service that we do to our organizations. It is a service we do to each other to be able to own that which we've done well and that which we've worked on, because then it gives our teams permission to celebrate that as well. And what I find in coaching often is that the person that I'm coaching, Larry already knows the skills of management. Sean knows the skills of management. They would have been promoted to the positions. And oftentimes it's not the skill of management that gets in our way. It has more to do with what are our blind spots, the things that we don't see about ourselves, or maybe the way that we get in our own ways, or one of the things Sean and I worked on, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here because Sean touched on that, is taking that moment to celebrate and to say, you know what, I've done a good job on this, or just giving him the room to be able to talk it through and to feel his own excitement. And sometimes all I did was hold up a mirror and reflect back to him what he was saying to me. And sometimes I held up a window and said, look forward, and what did you see forward? So it was already what he was bringing, and sometimes we just need the room to do that. And when we as managers allow ourselves to do that, like Larry said, there's this whole phenomenon around emotional contagion, and the emotion that I bring into the organization is contagious.
And I want to add on that, Jackie, if I may, you know, you're talking about management, but when somebody can incite others, can get them excited, can get them inspired, then they're leading.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can share your emotions and get people hooked, it is contagious and it is leading. It is not managing. It's getting the people engaged in what's going on, helping them develop an enthusiasm to work together to get the job done. It becomes fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't look at it as bragging.
I look at it as sharing and engaging.
Right.
With the emotional and the engagement, in my opinion, and what I saw with my team is you have a transition and you go from a transactional relationship with your team to a very personable relationship with your team. And it goes in some ways, it's not do what I say because I'm in charge. It's let's get this done together and get the accomplishment and then celebrate it at the end. So there's a lot that goes into it. And I think that there's a lot of transactional relationships that we have within our teams and in the workforce, that if we just made that a little bit more personable and we celebrate some things together as a team, it changes the mood of a facility and the mood of the operation.
And I can tell the difference walking into some of the facilities that we have and people are doing their job because they're told to, and I can walk into Sean's organization and people are doing the job because they want to.
Right. You know what, and it's interesting too, what's important here is whether you're an executive or not, and I know that Sean is an executive, and Larry, you're an executive, and Jackie worked with a lot of executives as an executive coach, but really, we all need this from the frontline, frontline people all the way up to the CEO. We sometimes need a checkup from the neck up, right? I mean, the reality is that we all get stuck. We create our own ruts, and if we don't have somebody to come in and help us, Jackie used the word reflect in some cases, just reframe some things, we can get lost and stuck for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bert, no matter what level you're at, we're still human.
Yes.
We still have the same needs. Yes. We still have the same emotions.
Right.
And I love that phrase, check up from the neck up. I'm going to use that if you don't mind.
You bet. Absolutely. Guys, we're out of time. Listen,
okay.
It's been wonderful to have you, all of you guys, here today. I'd love to bring you back. And I think this is so great because, again, you know, we're talking to a regional manager, the CEO who he reports to, and then Jackie, an executive coach who's worked with both these guys, and the results that they've gotten have been phenomenal. Thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to have you back again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bert.
Thanks, Bert.
You bet.
Take care.
Good stuff there. What a great way to start the show. It's amazing how, as humans, Larry was commenting on this, we're all still human. We all are the ones that have the same emotions. So whether you're Donald Duck or Donald Trump, we're all dealing with our mistaken perceptions, our fears, our doubts, and sometimes it's good to have somebody come in and help us and coach us and kind of walk us through stuff. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we come back. Brad Williams talking about you and your money right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right. We are back. Speaking of coaching and speaking of money, Brad Williams, president of Brad Williams Financial Services. Brad has over 25 years of addressing financial concerns of retirees and business owners. Add his strong communication skills, and Brad, after first listening to his clients' needs and concerns, he's able to simplify and explain in everyday language even the most complex concepts and alternatives. Brad Williams, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Great. Glad to be here.
You know what? And it's interesting, too, because this is an area that I think most people need help in. And I'm going to throw myself into this, into this mix as well. This is an area where we all need help in, but at the same time, all of us, both men and women, not just the guys, but both men and women, sometimes are very hesitant to raise our hands and say, "I need help."
There's a lot of truth in that. A lot of people, you know, just they're hesitant to bring a financial advisor in because, A, they feel like they don't know much and they don't want to look stupid, or they don't want somebody to tell them they've done all the wrong things, if that's the case.
Right, right. Well, you know what? And it's so funny, too, because, first of all, somewhat conditioned to be told that, you know, money is this, you know, that we should go out and accumulate a lot of money, right? We need to go out there and be making tons of money. But what's interesting is there's never been an emphasis on managing that money well, on saving that money. And we see it now. We see a lot of people, you know, I think the average is like the average American saves like 2% and could only survive maybe a month a month without regular income before they would dive into bankruptcy. So it just goes to show you that we have this really weird relationship when it comes to our finances.
And that's true. You know, study after study, there shows out of 100 people in this great nation we have with so many opportunities, only about 5% of the people are truly financially independent.
Man, and It just amazes me. It amazes me. So we need to really change our training at home. It's not just make money. It's manage money so you can, you know, so you can be happy and have peace of mind. Let's talk about this. I want to talk about the Social Security benefits because I think this is going to be very enlightening to a lot of people. And I want to talk specifically about the scenario that maybe you and your spouse have gone their separate ways, and the ex-spouse may be entitled to, how do I say this? The one spouse may still be entitled to the ex-spouse's Social Security benefits. Talk about this a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, you have a spousal benefit that can be 50% of your divorced spouse's benefit, and there's several qualifiers that you got to jump through a couple of hoops, and you had to have been married 10 years or longer. Now it used to be 20, and then they reduced that down to 10. So as long as you were married 10 years or longer, and your ex-spouse is unmarried, and they're 62 or older, then you're entitled to get benefits on their benefit, providing that yours is not greater. So a lot of people don't realize that, and they don't even have to know you're doing it. I mean, it's available to you.
All right,
and
so
you're not
so
taken
clear
away from them. You know, so you're not taken away from their benefit. It's just like if you were married and you retired, that you would qualify for 50% of your spouse's benefit if they had a higher earnings record and it was greater than what benefit you had earned in your work history.
And what's interesting, and I want to kind of clarify this a little bit. You're saying the spouse that is making the most or earning the most. So let's just say that Mr. and Mrs. Smith separate. However,
right.
Mrs. Smith is a very successful achiever and is making more money than Mr. Smith. In this scenario, would Mr. Smith then be entitled to 50% of the spousal Social Security benefits because Mrs. Smith is the bigger earner here?
That could possibly be the case by virtue of the fact if her earnings, if 50% of her earnings primary insurance amount, her basic benefit at retirement, is greater than what he would get. So if 50% of her benefit is greater than what he would get on his own, he can claim under her benefit.
Interesting. So it's not a gender bias type thing. It's really an earner bias.
Yeah, exactly right. It just like if you were married, the same thing would apply if you retired, that you could, you know, choose your benefit or choose half of your spouse's benefit, whichever would be greater.
And this would make a really, really big difference. I mean, this we're talking about to the ex-spouse who's not earning as much. This could make the difference, a massive difference in their lifestyle.
Oh, significantly. Yeah, significantly. And a lot of people do not understand that benefit is there for them. You know,
the key is
they had to have been married 10 years to that spouse and not be remarried. If they get remarried, you know, then that's an issue. That stops the benefit. But if they get remarried and the benefit stops and then that spouse dies, they can actually go back and reclaim it.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, this is such a, again, such a mysterious area. Most people have no idea what their Social Security benefits are. Let me ask you this. When we're talking benefits, Brad, what are we talking about? Are we just talking about a monthly check, or are we talking – I can't remember. Is that all that Social Security is? Is it a financial benefit, or are there some other benefits?
Well, pretty much in this case, it's just a monthly check. You're just getting – you know, you're getting a portion of what they would get as a retirement benefit.
Right.
Now there's you know, one thing I didn't address is that you could be eligible even below 62 if you're caring for a child under 16. You could actually claim under them.
Wow.
So there's several qualifiers there that are exceptions that you could actually get a benefit early. But yes, we're talking about, wow, you know, a monthly check from Social Security. And when you really think about it, I know Social Security hasn't had much of a cost of living increase, but you know, it's like having an annuity with you know, with an inflation factor in it. So when you look at strategizing your Social Security, and there's many ways to do that. In fact, that's one of the first things I do when I'm doing income planning with a client is I do a Social Security timing report, which shows the many options that they can choose as a couple and as individuals to find out how to maximize the benefit, because the money's there. You just don't want to leave it on the table. It's kind of like wait until after 70. There's absolutely no reason to wait till after 70 to claim your benefit. You've just left money on the table.
Right. And this is another area that I think, again, as a society just simply do not know about, because you can claim, you can start receiving, you correct me if I'm wrong, you can start receiving your Social Security benefits, I think, like you said, around 62, but if you wait until 65, you get a much bigger share.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, that's a good point. You've got, they give you a discount. So when you start it, you might look at it as a discount. At 62, you're going to have a deep discount, which means you're going to have a lot less benefit or significantly less benefit than if you hit full retirement age, which could be 65, it could be 66. It just depends on you know, what age you are now. But let's just call it full retirement age at 65. So what happens is you wait till 63, you get a little more, 64, you get a little more, and then 65, you get your full benefit. Now, the advantage to waiting from 65 or your full retirement age after that is you get an 8% deferred retirement credit, delayed retirement credit, each year you wait. So it's like having 8% added to your account. So if you can wait till you're 70, you get the most out of it. And a lot of that has to do with longevity expectations and whether you really need the income. If you need the income, you know, you got to take it as soon as you can get it.
Yes. Yes. This is really, what do you call it, a class that everybody sooner or later needs to take, you know, knowing your Social Security benefits, when to take the money out, when to leave it in, what to do in a divorce scenario. It's amazing all the different, you know, all the different areas of Social Security benefits that that could help you out, except that we don't know about it.
That's right. And you know, a lot of financial advisors don't really counsel people in that, but you know, you want to look for one that does. That's a primary part of my income planning for retirement, is really determining Social Security benefits and when would be optimum to take them, because you know, it could be that they may retire a little early, but they want to take money out of their qualified retirement accounts to continue to let their Social Security percolate, so they get a bigger amount, because that's an inflation adjusted annuity, basically. And so looking at the tax ramifications of that, looking at the future income benefits of it, that's why strategizing when you retire is not just, hey, I'm going to retire and how much do I need to pull out of my IRA and let me go down and turn my Social Security on. It's a lot more than that. You really need to sit down with someone who's qualified so they can help strategize that thing out to make sure you're getting maximum benefits.
Yes. And this goes to show you, too, the difference when you deal with somebody in, you know, who's an expert in a specific area, right? As you said, a lot of financial advisors, this is an area that they themselves don't know about. They don't work with their clients about. And I'm sure that there's some financial reasons why they don't do it. But bottom line is, having somebody like yourself sit down with a client and say, this is currently what you could be doing with Social Security, and you know, and here's the plan. Let's strategize and figure out how best to utilize Social Security benefits, because people already paid into the system. Now, how can I best use it?
That's correct. Yeah, because you don't want to leave money on the table that's yours.
Right, right. And I think that a lot of us probably do that. I mean, you know, and a lot of it is because we don't know any better. We think we have to wait till we're 65.
Right, right. That's correct.
And let me ask you this, Brad. When you sit down with a client, how many of them know almost nothing about Social Security?
I would say almost 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, they get their statement. A lot of them don't even know what their statement means because they never read it. You know, when they were getting their statements in the mail, they just filed them away. They didn't even look to see if there's any discrepancies in their annual income. You know, periodically you might find discrepancies where they didn't give you enough credit for income in a given tax year. And if that's the case, you need to amend it because that affects your Social Security. And I'm sure that doesn't happen a tremendous amount, but it happens from time to time. And not only that, you want to get set up a Social Security account, and that way you can monitor it and pull your own reports whenever you want them. That's one of the first things I get my clients to do before we even start planning is go ahead and set up their account on the SSA.gov, and that way they have access to it. And then they bring their statements in, and we do a timing report as the first part of our income planning.
You know, what's so interesting of what you just said, I do exactly what you just described. I get my statement. Sometimes I open it up and look at it, but most of the time I just file it.
Right.
I've never even bothered to look to see if they've got my incomes correct. Now I'm going to have to go. Now I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. You know, that's something I encourage everybody to do. And by setting up an account, it doesn't take that long on SSA.gov. You can go in and look at it on a regular basis, even if you're not retired, and print statements whenever you want. Know what your benefits are going to be in any given year. So, you're also preventing somebody else from accessing your SSA.gov because it'll tell you if somebody else is trying to get on it. So, identity theft is a big thing these days. So there's many ways to protect it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this just blows me away. So if you they can obviously go, as you mentioned, SSA.gov. There's a great resource there. If you want to get a hold of Brad Williams and maybe talk with him. Brad, what's your website?
It's pretty simple. It's just askbradwilliams.com. You got a financial question, you just
Brad Williams. I love that. Just ask Brad Williams. It doesn't get much simpler than that. This is so, again, this is something that affects all of us. And even if you are self-employed, you really need to take a look at your Social Security statement.
Amen. Most definitely.
Yeah, I love it. Brad Williams from AskBradWilliams.com. Thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. Looking forward to have you back again.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it myself. Thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. Good stuff there from Brad Williams about you and your money, specifically your Social Security benefits. I bet that you guys learned at least a couple of things from that little conversation we had. We're going to have a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew. You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick.
Oh, yeah.
Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
Sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew,
you poor thing. You sound awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
We are back. You know, I wanted to talk about this. I've been watching the Olympics, and it's been a very fun experience. I don't think I've watched the Olympics this much ever. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Allyson Felix losing the gold medal to Shaunae Miller, because Shaunae Miller, I don't know if you guys have seen this. If you haven't, all you have to do is look up running dive and it'll pop up. But Shaunae Miller and Allyson Felix were pretty close. I think Allyson Felix was just slightly ahead. And Shaunae Miller dived. You know, I guess this is the, what do you call it, the Hail Mary of running, right? And so she dove and she beat out Allyson Felix and got the gold medal. And some people were pissed off about it. And I wanted to get your take on this. I kind of, you know, thought it was very much a life lesson. I mean, believe me, I would have loved to seen Allyson Felix win. I love Allyson Felix. And you know, the more the USA wins, you know, I'm happy for that. But there's a lesson here. Shaunae Miller wanted it more. She was willing to dive. She was going to go all out. This was her last chance. And she went for it. And she won. And she won by a few seconds. Not even a few seconds. By a, I guess, it's not measured by seconds, but it's measured by, what do you call it, by distance, by inches, whatever, centimeters, millimeters. She won by a fraction of a fraction. How's that? So it brings me to this. Are you running full out? Are you diving in? Are you doing everything you can to elevate your business? And it comes down to our standards, right? The higher we set our standards, the better quality of life that we're going to have. Our standards dictate the quality of our life. For example, some people have a standard that no matter what, rain or shine, they're going to get up and go work out. And they tend to look fit, and they tend to be, you know, what do you call it? They have a fairly healthy lifestyle because of their standards. I'm not talking about Olympic athletes. I'm talking about people, working class tips like you and me, who are out there making things happen. We get up, we get going, we're in the gym. It's a standard. Some people have a standard when it comes to being home with their kids. And no matter what, they want to be home with their kids at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. There's a standard there that no matter what, I'm going to be home with my kids. I want to spend time with my kids. I want to help them with their homework. That is their standard. And guess what? They have a great relationship with their kids. Their kids do better at school because of that standard. So what I'm saying this to say this. You have to examine and see if you need to adjust your standards. Sometimes we set standards that are too low, and therefore we're not going to reach our potential. And sometimes we set standards on other people that may be too high, and it's going to stress out the relationship. So our standards equal the quality of our lives. If you have a standard that no matter what, you're going to pay your tithing, or you're going to save money, or again, whatever your standard is in the area of financials, of your financial area, it will manifest itself almost immediately, right? You'll have money in the bank because it's a standard. It's an absolute. It's a must. And we always achieve our must. We must pay our bills, and therefore we always pay our bills. So for some people, that isn't a standard. For some people, that is not a standard. There are people who have decided to, quote, get out of the system. They have, you know, their standard is, you know what, let me get by with as little as possible. And it's a small percentage of people, but they are homeless on purpose. They don't mind that vagabond lifestyle, right? And there are some people who their standard is, no matter what, I'm going to get a sale, right? I'm gonna by hook or by crook, I'm gonna make money. And they do. And I'm not saying that's a good standard. I'm just saying that's a standard. And we always get our standards. We always get our musts. Think about that. So look at an area in your life where improvement needs to be had, and then look at your standards in that area. And that you'll notice quite quickly that maybe either you don't have a real standard or your standard's too low. And then you look at some areas of your life where you're just rocking it, you're crashing it, you're killing it, and realize that your standard there are probably significantly higher. Our standards predict our future. They create our reality. So our standards is, what do you call it? I want to say our standards is one of those must-haves in life. And whether or not you create them consciously, you might be surprised that you created them unconsciously, right? Meaning, a standard could be that you don't really care that much about maybe saving money or about how you look physically or about your health, and therefore in those areas you're weak in, as opposed to some areas, again, that you've either consciously or unconsciously have set, and you have a high standard. Some people have a high standard, I'll give you a real simple one, that they really take care of their teeth. And they'll brush their teeth for, you know, a couple times a day. They use the whole dental floss, right? So what are your standards? What is it that you have created in your life that you can look at and say, man, I'm so grateful I have a high standard. I've had this high standard for a while, and celebrate those high standards that you have. And then maybe look at areas in your life where your standards need to be changed, raised, updated. So therefore, you're going to have more abundance in that area. Just want you to think about that. If you have questions about anything on the show, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, you can reach out to me via email, Bert, B-E-R-T, at bertmartinez.com. And I'll be glad to respond there as well. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show, for helping us promote the show, and for helping us with our guests and our topics. You guys are the bomb diggity. I appreciate you so much from the bottom of my heart. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.